You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
It's June 2022. The University of Southern California is celebrating graduation day for its social work program. A student named Evan is one of thousands of graduates at the ceremony.
I was in my cap and gown. I actually had my mom and dad fly in, so they were there too. I was sitting down at my seat in my prescribed area. I want to say at least 30 to 40 minutes. And they had, I think, an indigenous Hawaiian woman come and talk. She's up there saying, like, we love all of our minority students and, like, all the poor people.
To any outsider, it seemed like a routine part of the graduation ceremony. But for those who had been through the social work program, the hypocrisy was glaring.
I could see through it. I got so angry that I ended up just leaving and I didn't even walk. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with USC.
I'm Margot Gray. This week on Campus Files, we dig into how USC outsourced its prestigious social work program to a for-profit company and kept it hidden from students.
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I grew up going to public school, and Tennessee is a really bad public education system.
This is Evan. He attended Martin Luther King Jr. High School, just west of downtown Nashville.
The school that I went to from like all my developmental years was pretty awful. It was just in a low-income area. Bad infrastructure, pretty bad teachers, very, very little resources.
But for Evan, the biggest challenge wasn't the lack of resources. It was navigating the school environment as an openly gay student.
Growing up gay in this kind of poor Southern public school context, it was tough. The school I went to is so homophobic. I mean, it was also back in 2010s and before, so F-slur was getting thrown around a lot more then.
And there wasn't a large community of openly queer students Evan could connect with for support.
There was one other gay person at my school, and he was bullied so much incessantly. And I mean, even like the super, super nerdy kids would use him as a punching bag. And he eventually had kind of a psychological break. And they just took him out and he was just gone. And I remember thinking at the time, like, dang, that's what happens to the gay psyche. It's like he came out, he was bullied, and then he just disappeared.
As high school drew to a close, Evan was eager to leave Tennessee for college. But figuring out how to pay for it was a whole other challenge.
There was no mentor to talk me through this stuff. My dad was like in HVAC and my mom is a ceramicist, and there wasn't any offering on their end that things were going to be paid for, so it felt really like I had to do it all on my own.
It wasn't easy, but Evan managed to secure some financial support. He bounced around between a few colleges before eventually landing at UC Santa Barbara. In 2019, he graduated from UCSB with a degree in philosophy and religious studies.
It was from studying religion and philosophy and psychology that I went into like psychoanalysis. And then I became really interested in meditation and mindfulness. And I found that to be a huge, huge, huge resource. And where I grew up, there was just a lot of mental health issues. And I wanted to kind of help facilitate that healing for people.
So Evan set his sights on becoming a therapist. But he knew it wouldn't happen overnight. First, he had to get his master's in social work, or MSW, a degree required for most counseling jobs.
I started looking into a lot of programs to become a therapist. You type in therapy programs and the USC MSW program just like flooded everywhere.
USC's MSW program is one of the oldest in the country, dating back to 1920. From the start, it was a trailblazer. Long before it became common practice, USC sent students beyond the classroom to work directly with immigrant communities in Los Angeles. Then, in 2010, it broke new ground again, this time by launching a fully online version of its in-person program. The ads that Evan kept seeing were for this online program.
Welcome to a first-of-its-kind digital campus that fosters effective and meaningful learning experiences in an online environment. The dashboard offers
USC's MSW program seemed like the perfect option. It promised the flexibility of studying online while offering the same opportunities as the in-person program. According to USC's website, it featured the exact same faculty, curriculum, and access to career services.
I think I signed up for an email to get more information, and then that's when I was connected to the admissions counselor.
The admissions counselor explained that she worked for USC and was there to guide Evan through the application process.
It wasn't just a one-off phone call or maybe I'm going to call you once a month. She was calling me every other day, many times a week, and she would just chat with me.
She took the time to get to know him, his life, his story, and what had inspired his interest in social work.
I talk about being gay from Tennessee, my most vulnerable desires and goals, which is to help this really vulnerable community that I'm a part of, how I wanted to start a nonprofit to help LGBT people in the South. She was telling me how moved she was, and she was disclosing information about her life, about her queer child. She was really building rapport with me in a pretty intense way. At the time, I was thinking like, oh my gosh, she is like one of the nicest people I've ever met.
For Evan, it felt like someone was finally rooting for him and his aspirations.
She really hyped me up. She was saying to me that like she was assigned a caseload of like 20 prospective students. And she said to me as well that she thought they were not going to get accepted.
Evan was cautiously optimistic, since his acceptance was far from guaranteed. After all, he was applying to the number one MSW program in the country, per USC's website.
And on the website, it clearly stated as well that it was either 15 or 18% acceptance rate. And I remember being like, oh my God, this is so prestigious. This was a really highly selective program.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Evan could barely contain his excitement. He'd been accepted into USC's online MSW program. Of all the programs he'd applied to, this one was by far the most prestigious. But there was a catch. It was also by far the most expensive. The two-year degree cost over $110,000, far beyond Evan's budget. He voiced these concerns to his admissions counselor.
I kept telling her how I was insecure financially, and this was my number one concern. And she calmed me down. She said, "You're not going to have to worry. Trust me." She said, "You just have to accept."
The admissions counselor reassured Evan that he could take out a loan and wouldn't have to worry about paying it back. The financial aid office would cover it using their own budget. Still, Evan was hesitant.
She was then starting to push me that I had to accept. And if I didn't accept soon, I would not receive the financial aid.
Ultimately, fearing he might miss out on the opportunity, Evan made the decision to enroll.
I just thought I was going to really elevate myself by going to this program and not one of the state programs, which I was admitted to. And I was really excited initially. I want to say the first semester, I was still happy and feeling grateful. And then it kind of hit me that I still hadn't received my financial aid package. And that's when the stomach dropped initially.
Evan began reaching out to the financial aid office for updates, but his calls and emails went unanswered.
On top of that, in about the second semester, that's when I realized that the professors were really not doing a great job.
Evan had expected USC's professors to be top-notch, but instead, he found himself in a class where the professor was teaching blatantly inaccurate information.
I just remember that she was talking about Marx, and she was just misquoting and didn't know anything about Marx. And I remember raising my hand and bringing that up, and she doubled down. And I remember being just like in almost like dissociative shock.
Evan began researching his professor's backgrounds, and his stomach sank once again.
I realized these were only master's level professors. They didn't have any PhDs. They're supposed to be teaching history of psychotherapy, diversity and ethics, just a really wide range of topics that actually isn't covered in a typical MSW program. These professors were just reading through lecture notes aloud, but they didn't study this in like a PhD program.
In one class, the professor didn't even bother to pretend that he was putting in any effort.
I was initially excited because he was also a gay man. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. But we butted heads so hard because he wasn't teaching and he was showing just the TED Talks the whole time. And I remember raising my hand and confronting him in the class and being like, are we going to talk about this or do this? And he got angry at me.
But it wasn't just the professors that seemed off. His classmates also weren't what he expected from the top MSW program in the country.
A lot of the students in the classrooms were nonverbal. And the professor would occasionally want there to be a discussion and no one would speak. And I started realizing the few people that would speak typically were more, I'm trying to use the right words. I started to realize that the people were maybe not too intelligent in the program. I was like, this isn't what I'm used to in academia.
To make matters worse, it wasn't just the academic rigor that fell short. None of the resources that USC had promised were available to him.
I was told I'd have access to a full-time WeWork office. They never gave me my WeWork. And I just remember being like, why the F are you offering the space to do classwork and then not giving it to people? I was also told that there was going to be a ton of career counseling incorporated into the education, and that was a lie as well. I went to the Career Center multiple times, and they didn't know anything about MSWs or our jobs or the requirements to receive licensure or the state licensing test as well.
Students had also been promised clinical internships in the field. While Evan managed to secure a decent one, That wasn't the case for the majority of his peers.
They went to horrible placements where they were just doing paperwork and weren't actually doing psychotherapy with anyone. And I remember being really disturbed by that because they were paying so much and they weren't getting any clinical experience, which is what they were entitled to.
And like Evan, most students were paying far more for the program than they could afford.
Everyone was overwhelmed with debt. Everyone. That was a common thing. A huge amount of the women had children, and there was a lot of tears in the classroom because it was overwhelming. And so I think a lot of the, especially moms who were so burnt out in my program, they didn't have the extra energy to fight.
But Evan did. So he started advocating for himself and his classmates. First, by raising his concerns directly with the professors.
They would tell me to talk to the student org to voice our concerns in a coalition, which I found was just a really strange thing because it was like unpaid labor that we were being asked to do as students to try to rewrite their curriculum.
So Evan tried a new approach. He began reaching out to members of the administration.
And then I started going higher up and higher up in the food chain to the student coordinator, the academic coordinator, because all these higher ups were pushing me because no one wanted to talk to me.
After months of being passed up the chain, Evan secured a meeting with the top-ranking university official who oversaw both the in-person and online social work programs. He carefully planned what he would say, but nothing could have prepared him for what she was about to reveal.
The easiest thing you'll ever do is keep your car serviced with Roda.
That's a real 5-star Google review from Diana S. And honestly, she nailed it. Roda is the DMV's most trusted auto shop. Maintenance, repairs, and detailing with free valet pickup and drop-off, no hidden fees and no pressure. Book in minutes at Roda.com and save 20% with code POD20. It's Roda. Duh.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
In the spring of 2021, Evan met with a top-ranking USC official over video.
It was intense. She told me everything. That's when I learned the entire program was different from the on-campus program. She can't claim.
Evan learned that the program he'd been attending wasn't actually run by USC. Instead, it was operated by a for-profit company called 2U.
I didn't even know that that was a thing. I didn't know anything about 2U. I thought I was going to USC. Shocking.
2U is what's known as an online program manager, or OPM. It's a for-profit company that partners with universities to manage their online programs. In exchange, 2U takes a share of the tuition revenue. But the students don't realize they're dealing with 2U. They think they're simply enrolled in USC's online school. In reality, USC contributed nothing to the program except its name. The online MSW program had entirely different professors, a different curriculum, and even different admission standards.
We talked about selectivity, and I told her how it was advertised to me as number one. She said that that was a lie on the website and that almost all the students are let in. She said 2U lets in almost everyone.
Evan was shaken, to say the least. Everything he'd been told about the program was a lie.
I'll say I was also maybe a bit relieved because I had just been consistently gaslit, you know, for so long. And I knew in my heart something was wrong. And I finally got the answers I wanted. She told me she was going to help me receive financial aid that I was promised. So I left that meeting feeling great.
But Evan's relief didn't last very long, because after the meeting, the USC official went silent. He followed up by email. Still, no response.
And that's when I got really hurt, because I was like, this is just another salt in the wound of someone telling me that they're going to help me or do something and not following through.
Evan believes the USC official genuinely intended to help him, but he suspects she later realized the problem was far bigger than she could fix.
I think that she realized I was one of so many that was lied to, that it was like, I can't help him and everyone. Additionally, I think she realized the scope of the corruption at USC was too high. I could feel talking to her that she was freaked out about this stuff, and she just dropped out.
Just a few months later, the USC official resigned, leaving Evan without an advocate. With nowhere else to turn, he channeled his frustration into his schoolwork.
We had to do a creative arts assignment at the end of the program. My entire assignment was about USC line. I was a bluegrass musician because I'm from Tennessee. I got my banjo and I wrote a song called USC Lies. And the teacher liked me, and I could tell she wasn't ignorant. And she knew what USC was doing. She couldn't respond because she knew when to be quiet. She knew that these classes were recorded.
In May 2021, Evan completed the program. USC held an in-person graduation ceremony on campus, and Evan's parents flew in to celebrate him. But as we heard at the start of the episode, Evan stormed out of the ceremony without collecting his diploma.
It was painful because I wanted to do the walk, but I wasn't going to be inauthentic and fake to myself when I'm so angry at the program.
The program had left Evan with over $100,000 in debt and no closer to being prepared for a career as a therapist.
I went onto the USC alumni Facebook page and I posted about my experience, and it received 300 comments and thousands of likes. And all these people started pouring out and messaging me their stories about getting lied to, having to drop out of the program where they didn't even finish the program, but they had like $100,000 in debt. The stories were innumerable.
As it turned out, the groundswell of support from people in debt revealed an even deeper controversy. A month later, a Wall Street Journal investigation uncovered the truth. It confirmed what the USC official had told Evan. USC's program was, in fact, being run by a for-profit company, 2U. But the article also revealed something Evan didn't know. The program was specifically targeting low-income individuals, not for their talent or potential, but because they qualified for federal aid money.
Anytime you have a program that's the size of the federal student aid program, it's going to attract people who see it as a way to make money.
This is Eileen Connor, director of the Project on Predatory Student Lending, or PPSL. Her organization has helped eliminate over $22 billion in student debt and continues to fight to end predatory student lending.
Something's predatory when it's structured in a way that the person making the loan can only win, and the person who's taking out the loan has all of the risk, and it's likely that they're going to fail, that they're not going to be able to repay that loan.
And that's exactly how it played out for Evan. His loan money went straight into USC and 2U's pockets, but he alone was left with all the risk, responsible for paying it back. Historically, the bad actors making the predatory loans were for-profit schools, places like Corinthian Colleges, ITT, and the Art Institutes, which flourished during the 1990s. In recent years, these institutions have faced growing scrutiny for their exploitative practices, for issuing loans to students they knew would struggle to repay them.
Because of the scale of that and the number of people who were negatively impacted, there was a lot of work done around tightening rules on predatory for-profit colleges. And in response, I think we've seen the share of students going to these schools go down. We've seen the money going to them go down, but it doesn't mean that the practices have gone away.
Eileen explains that predatory lending hasn't disappeared. It's just evolved. Now, for-profit companies like 2U are stepping in. They're helping schools meet the rising demand for online education, a demand that's risen since the COVID pandemic.
So the pitch of a company like 2U or another OPM to these schools is, look, we have the expertise, we have the platform, we know how to develop these courses. You don't have to put up any money up front. It doesn't require you to have a capital investment. You don't have to have dorms. You also can have a nationwide reach. You're not constrained by geography. Essentially, there's no ceiling to the number of enrollments that you can get.
The pitch sounds great in theory. These online schools allow universities to reach more students and boost their revenue. The problem, though, is that students generally have no idea about the behind-the-scenes arrangement. They think they're paying to attend USC or another university, not 2U.
Nobody knows the name 2U. In fact, they're deliberately trying to hide themselves from consumers.
For example, Evan had no idea that the USC admissions counselor who guided him through his application process was actually a 2U recruiter.
A student would never know that the person they're talking to is not actually employed by the institution because USC gave them USC email addresses. When we see like a .edu, we think that's a beneficent institution. I don't need to be on guard that this entity is going to be trying to treat me like a profit center.
But that's exactly what was happening. The 2U recruiter wasn't looking out for Evan's best interest. Her job was to get him to enroll at any cost, even if that meant misleading him about financial aid. And that gets to the heart of the issue. 2U's mission is fundamentally at odds with USC's. As a for-profit company, 2U's priority is maximizing tuition revenue. USC, on the other hand, isn't supposed to be driven by profit. It's meant to be focused on providing a world-class education to its students.
When I look at a school like USC or any other established, reputable school, making a decision to turn students into profit centers, I feel a lot of sadness at what they're throwing away and what it will mean for us when we can't trust any institutions anymore. Looking ahead, higher education is in the crosshairs. And so we don't want to see these institutions that I think are so important to civil society and to our democracy essentially hasten their own demise by making these bad deals, by being greedy, by deceiving students, by choosing something that's expedient or clever over what's right.
As for exactly how many of these companies exist, and how much revenue they generate, Eileen says we don't know, since there's very little transparency in the industry.
It is out of sight. There's not mandated data reporting. I think that's part of what creates these conditions for these programs to be predatory or deceptive.
But we do know that these companies have persuaded hundreds of colleges and universities in the United States to sign on. Schools including Vanderbilt, Georgetown, and Fordham. The widespread use of these programs is part of what inspired Eileen and her team at PPSL to file a class action lawsuit against USC. They're hoping to send a clear message to universities. If your business model depends on deceiving students, it's time to rethink it.
It should never be the case that the decision to pursue education or training beyond high school should be the worst decision that someone makes.
The class action lawsuit is currently progressing through the legal system. Evan is one of the hundreds of individuals claiming they were misled about the quality of the program.
I'm so blessed because after that Facebook post that I did, I was connected to the predatory student loan folks. I applied for my borrower defense loan application that let me be a part of a large class action.
Today, while Evan awaits the outcome of the class action lawsuit, he's working as a therapist, a career path that wasn't easy to achieve.
I had to completely study independent of my education from USC. There's state licensing requirements to become a therapist. We weren't taught anything on these tests. Why? Because 2U doesn't know. It's been a bumpy, traumatic experience leaving USC because they didn't prepare me whatsoever.
Thankfully, no one at USC will have to go through what Evan did. Because at the end of 2023, the university ended its 15-year partnership with 2U. But the announcement dodged questions about the broader OPM model and made no mention of the ongoing lawsuit. And on the very same day, 2U unveiled plans to launch 50 new online programs with six other institutions. Special thanks to Aaron Ament for sharing his insights and expertise. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast. This episode was written and reported by Margot Gray. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont, Elliot Adler, and me, Margot Gray. Our executive producers and story editors are Maddie Sprungkaiser and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is edited, mixed, and mastered by Chris Basil and Andy Jaskowitz. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, J.D. Crowley, Leah Reese-Dennis, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Kurt Courtney, Hilary Schuff, Sean Cherry, Laura Berman, and Hilary Van Ornum. Original theme music by James Waterman and Davey Sumner. If you have tips or story ideas, write to us at campusfilespod@gmail.com.